So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Haha, okay. I'm Miss H, and today, Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 1, Episode 7 of Life After Lockup, where Shane falls on his ass and then on his face. Angela takes Tony to meet brother Joey for spiritual guidance. Brittany finds out a little more about her kids. Lamar takes Andrea to the fanciest restaurant that serves spaghetti and meatballs. And Sarah struggles with keeping calm with the very infuriating Michael. All that in Students of the Week, Class Dunces, and Life Lessons. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating so other people can find us too. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I just got a new car, so, you know.
Yep.
Yes.
Good times.
I'm
excited about that.
Right, so now I'm all in a good mood to talk about these bad people.
These convicts. Yeah. Or ex-convicts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, so before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about our one-star review. Womp, womp.
It happens. I feel like everybody has to get one. Like, that's part of the podcast growth rate.
Right. Well, actually, I kind of said it was fair, Mr. O. We were having a spirited debate about whether or not it's fair. But regardless if I think it's fair or Mr. O doesn't think it's fair, we welcome constructive criticism. And
absolutely.
So I appreciate the fact that there was an explanation and it could be something that we debate.
Yes, I much prefer that than the one that's like, one star, why did they do that? I have no idea.
Yeah.
That was mean.
No, we super appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because, yes, we're teachers and we appreciate things that we can also learn from as well.
Yes.
So where do you want to get started today?
Let's start with Andrea and Lamar. Because they were pretty short.
They were fairly short. So mm-hmm. Lamar is trying to wine and dine Andrea at the finest restaurant Salt Lake City has to offer.
Where he can order their finest spaghetti and meatballs.
Right. The specialty.
Yes.
Yeah. That's market price, right?
Market price. Yeah. Market on that one. If you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it. That's the way that spaghetti meatballs goes.
And, you know, he's going to respect the atmosphere, too, because he's going to take off his hat and glasses to show he's serious about this dinner.
Yes. He's trying to wine and dine. He's wine and dine, meaning trying to get laid. So that was
pretty much
the obvious subtext there, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It did not work out very well for him.
No, definitely not. So Andrea admits their marriage isn't good. She didn't know it would be this difficult to reconnect. And it's like, well, you could just tell she has like, I don't know, like a mood about her. She's definitely like in a negative place. And it doesn't even seem like she wants to reconnect.
No, well, she does on her terms. And I think that's her issue, is that she wanted Lamar to come, oh, baby, I was totally wrong. I'll convert to Mormonism.
Yeah,
let's
true.
Move to Mutaw. Like, that's what she wanted to reconnect, like him just to change everything and not still be Lamar.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I agree. So Andrea, you know, she brings up California and their life there. And it really, in the end, just sounds like she just really wants him all to herself. And so she didn't like California, that whole situation, because she was getting mad that he was spending time with his family and friends.
Mm.
And, you know, if she's in Utah and they're in Utah, it's like he doesn't have any friends or family in Utah. So the focus is 100% going to be on her and the family. And I really feel like that's part of the reason why. And, like, she'll argue and say, like, oh, she just wants to get him away from his past and, like, the crime and, like, his thug life. But I really think it's just that she wants the focus to 100% be on her and she doesn't want to share him with anyone.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to do that. Like, he clearly is just, I'm bored here. I have nothing to do. I have, like, job prospects and friends and things to do in L.A. And here I'm just, like, sitting alone in a house, like, twiddling my thumbs. I'm looking back and forth.
Right. What am I going to do?
Yeah. What am I going to do? Over here? Is there something over here? Oh, no, there's not. Is there over here now?
No.
Nope. Still nothing.
So Andrea thinks that the more freedom he has, the more different he becomes. And it's like, well, yeah. she just sounds like such a control freak. Like, she doesn't want to give him freedoms because she likes who he is when he doesn't have control over his own life.
So she likes prison Lamar. She doesn't like free Lamar, basically, right?
Right.
She's all into prison Lamar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So, I mean, and Lamar doesn't – okay, when he said ultimatum, right? He said, mm-hmm. I don't like having this ultimatum. Well, I mean, you have to figure out where you live. But did it sound to you like he said old tomatoes? And I was like, did he say old tomatoes?
Maybe. I mean, they are in an Italian restaurant. I don't appreciate these old tomatoes in this restaurant.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have the finest spaghetti meatballs.
But possibly he was talking about their spaghetti. He was throwing shade on their spaghetti and not talking about Andrea. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. But she says that they're going to have to make a decision about where they live soon. And, you know, Lamar, he's like, I just want to ignore this. I just wanted to have a nice dinner. I'm just trying to get in your pants.
Exactly.
Like, why does this always have to be so serious?
Yes.
So I agree with you that this is a decision that needs to be made, but Lamar doesn't want to make that now. He wants to get laid.
No, he just needs to get laid first. I mean, he'll be of, I would say, of clearer mind, but like the discussion will be more productive. Like if you just let the, just let the guy get laid first, man. Like, because that'll be, and then it won't be like, pursuing that as with as much focus, because you don't want him to make a bunch of promises that he doesn't really mean because he's just trying to get in your pants. Like you want to actually have a productive discussion.
Right. So Lamar starts to defend like his stance on why he wants to stay in California. And he says that he's still in school and that he's still on parole. But then I was like, wait a second.
No, he's not on parole. That was
Are you
point.
Still on parole? I know. I thought there was pie involved.
Yeah, exactly. He said it was like the first time I have been in
or
the
a
system.
Cake.
Or expects to be back on parole. I don't know. But yeah, my understanding was he was off parole. I mean, and
that's
she,
what I thought too.
She kind of has the upper hand because like she's like, there's three of us that want to live in Utah and one of us that wants to live in LA. So
yeah,
like, what are you going to do?
So then she drops the D word.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Lamar, it's not the D word that he was hoping for.
No. I mean,
no.
I don't know if she wanted to drop, if he wanted that dropped on him either, the other D word.
Probably not. So she mentions divorce.
For some kind of other experience. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Lamar says Andrea is ungrateful and he's tired of reporting to someone. You know, he just wants his freedom, but he doesn't want to give up his family.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. It is the old tomato. And you have to make the decision.
Right. I don't know. I just feel like Andrea is not trying to compromise with him. And I can kind of see where she's coming from the tiniest bit because she feels like she's already made her sacrifice. She forced the family to live in LA for however long, like maybe a year. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, we're done with this. We're going back.
We tried. It didn't work. It's your turn to try up here. Like, legit try, not just, like, come up here and be like, ah, there's no black people here. I'm going back. Like, actually try. And I give him that. Because, I mean, what's the compromise? Live in Vegas? I mean, how do you do this? Like,
I think they would both be okay with that. Maybe that is the compromise. But I feel like at this point, there's, like, no talks of compromise because Andrea feels that she's already done her part of sacrifice.
Right.
You know, so I don't know if they're going to get any resolution.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem there is.
Yeah. Because she's just real stubborn about it.
It just seems like of all the couples, you know, of all the, at least the non-incarcerated people in the couples, all the other ones are like weirdly infatuated with the ex-con and like will almost do everything for him. And Andrea's not that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like at this point, you know, it's more so that's the father of her youngest. And so she's just trying to keep the family together. Whereas I feel like with the other ones, it's more so that they have like a lust for that person. And they're like, oh, they're just so hot.
Right.
Like, I can't believe this person's so hot that it makes them.
Yeah. Are completely blind to
everything
that's going around. Yeah.
Not making the best life decisions because it's based on their attraction to the person.
Uh-huh. Right. And they're just like, but it has to be.
Yes, because how could this person be so hot and in jail and into me? Yeah, that's fate right there. That's
fate.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. So does everybody want to talk about next?
Let's go with Lacey, Shane, and John, since we didn't hear from them last week.
talking about being infatuated with someone because they think they're hot.
I definitely feel like that is a lot of what was happening with Shane and Lacey. And I don't even think it's like Lacey being so infatuated with Shane, but I feel like Shane's just so young and immature, and then he just seems to have this like crazy, like, Lacey's the love of my life, she's the perfect woman, and it's kind of like, well, what is that based on exactly other than you think she looks really hot? Because I don't think she's really bringing that much to the relationship except for conversations like this.
Well, is she like doing that before she goes down on him? Because that's all he really cares about, I think.
Probably.
Probably. Should I like go lower?
Okay.
Maybe higher. Like, no, I think it's about sex. And it's not even like just hot. She's hot. But like, she's hot and is a freak, and that's fun. Yeah. Like, he's having a lot of fun.
He gets to be involved in her cam girl stuff. Yeah, that's what I mean to say.
That's right. So then the question is that I couldn't figure out is, so what does John see in Lacey? Why is John so obsessed with Lacey? I'm not even sure it was real or if he's putting it on
for
the TV show.
Well, they do have history. It seems like they went to high school together, but they're not the same age. So they were just at high school around the same time, I think. And then he's just been there, you know, because Lacey was legit married to one of the fathers of her kids. And so he just seemed like he was around during that time. And so I don't know. I just feel like for him, it's just the history of it all.
Right. I just couldn't get over like the shit-eating grin he kept saying when he was like, I'm going to win her back. Like, I'm not sure he meant it. Like, if it was like, this makes for
TV. No, I kind of feel like he meant it. I feel like he at least knows he's smug because he knows he could win her back. So we see John again. He's getting a visit from his sister at the halfway house. So his sister, Jennifer, thinks that John being in this halfway house is a good thing for him. And she's proud of his progress.
I don't know. Does he immediately just start? How does Lacey come up?
Oh, they were talking about how he got there in the first place. And then he was saying that he was upset about Lacey, you know, marrying Shane, and that he was using alcohol to cope with things.
Oh, right.
And so, you know, he was drinking and driving, and then that's how he got caught. And then they searched his car, and there were just drugs in his car. So she was asking him, you know, like, how did you get here? Like, what happened? And now she's just worried because Jennifer is saying, you know, like, well, how are you going to cope with this in the future? You know, like, change has to happen. You can't just keep on doing the same thing over and over again. Otherwise, you're going to keep going to jail.
Right, because he was like, because he said something. Well, I'm not going back to jail. And she's like, that's what you said before the last time you went to jail. Like, you keep saying that. And she especially was like, because the person who keeps messing with you and getting you into these troubles is Lacey. And this is the person you're intentionally going after. And it's like, you can't make people see, I don't know, what's plain in front of their face.
Yeah.
They don't want to see
So Jennifer brings up the fact that Lacey is manipulating John with false promises. And I wouldn't say it's false promises. It's just straight up lies. You know, like Lacey thinking that, you know, one of the kids was his and, you know, lying about that situation.
Sure.
I don't even think she was necessarily lying. I think she just didn't know. And she was using the fact that it was kind of unknown to manipulate the situation. Then also her thing with, you know, accepting an engagement and then just kind of lying to him about, you know, looking at what else is out there, you know. Opening up opportunities to meet another convict because that's her type.
Yeah, it just seems like she's really satisfied to keep him available, like, you know, just in case she needs something, like you know, in case of emergency, break glass. Like, I need you to be right here while I do what I want. And that so she just strings him along. And that's the only way to keep him there is to string him along.
Like, she has to, you know, give him just enough hope. You know, just to keep him around.
Mm-hmm.
She can't completely shut it off. So, yeah, I agree with you. She's just doing enough. And so, yeah, it comes off as very manipulative because I think at the end of the day, she's just scared she's going to be alone. And so, I mean, I feel like the people who are scared of being alone are the ones that want to get as many people, like, in the mix. So that way, you know, they'll always have someone.
Right. And there's also, I think it's also true about the people who kind of think, as I get the impression that Lacey does, that like like her body and sex is like all she has to offer, and people often get bored of that, and that only lasts for so long, and so there's going to be a churn there. You have to have somebody available ready to go next, because you know that
yeah. So Jennifer, at the end of the day, just doesn't like Lacey. She thinks she's a liar, she's manipulative, and she thinks that Lacey does things intentionally. I have to agree with her. It does seem like Lacey is like, I don't know. You know, those people are kind of like very dramatic, and they're like setting up things because they want certain kind of result. And so they're just, you know, making mountains out of molehills and stirring the hornet's nest and all that.
And then those people sent, and the same people that tend to be like, why does everything happen to me?
Really hate drama. Why? I'm always involved with drama, but I'm not the one who's like making it. It just is.
There is no bigger shorthand for someone who creates drama more than anyone else than someone who actually says the words out loud.
I know.
I don't like drama.
Whenever someone says that, it's like, oh, I feel like the reason why you say that is because you're around drama all the time. And if you're around all the drama all the time, who is the common denominator here? You.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know if I like drama or not, because my life's not that traumatic.
Well, so. I mean, I can say that I don't like drama too, but I mean, I don't go out of my way to say that, because it's just like, well, if I don't like it, I'm just not around it. I don't need to make like a big announcement about it.
Right. True. True. It's not like people go through life being like, I don't like wine. Why is there always wine? Every time I go to the restaurant, it's like, because you're ordering wine. Like,
don't hang out at the wine bar then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Jennifer, at the end of the day, threatens that if he goes to jail over Lacey, the family's not going to be there anymore. Because I think she's just trying to throw in some incentive for John to stay away. Because I don't think there's anything else that Jennifer can really offer, you know, to motivate him to stay away.
No. And even that's not going to work very well. Like, he just, his mind is somewhere unreachable in terms of going back after Lacey.
I think there's something kind of like a little wrong with people who say that they really like relationships that are a challenge, or they like really like to be challenged in a relationship. Yeah. It's very much like the thrill of the chase. And then it's like, but then what happens when you catch it or you win?
Get them.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, and what happens when you don't win and you have to come, like, you sometimes it sucks in life, but you just have to come to the realization that this is not going to happen, and chasing it harder is not going to make it happen. It's only going to hurt me, and you have to just let it go.
So he says at the end of the day that he loves her, and it's just like, oh, John, he's an attractive guy. I get it. He's a convict.
And he can love her and be like, I love her. Yeah. No, he's good looking. No, I won't deny that.
Yeah, and he is a convict, but at the same time, he's gainfully employed, you know, given his criminal past. I would say that most of his stuff is mostly addiction. So, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like there's other women out there that are not going to mess around and like play games with you, because I really feel like that's what she's doing at the end of, you know, at the end of all this, is she's just playing games with them.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only thing you've ever known of love is games, then you kind of think games are love, and like, you need to, somebody needs to show you better. That's what he needs, is somebody to show him like, oh wait, this doesn't have to be weird game like and guessing, always trying to guess and be manipulated. It can just be like,
And I think that's also why he probably wants to feel like he's winning, you know, like this is a challenge to be won, because he sees like all her games is, you know what it is, a game. So he's just trying to win at it. He's trying to win at life.
And you know who's not winning? Shane at the roller rink is not winning
any
prizes.
That was great. I kind of enjoyed watching him fall down a whole lot. He was very klutzy.
He didn't even fall down like nice. Like, it's not like his, like, he was straight up all the way out.
Yeah.
Feet overhead, like flat on his back falling. Like, it wasn't just like a little fall or an off balance. He just went like asshole over elbows. Just whoop.
Yeah, but Lacey was a natural. She was loving it.
Yeah, I, I don't know. It seems like, I don't know where you came from, but it's much more a girl activity to go to the roller rink. Like, we did it like twice in middle school, and like we would go like one like Christmas field trip, we could go anywhere, and we went to like the roller rink. But like the Girl Scouts do it a lot, but the Boy Scouts don't go.
The only time I've ever been has been at a school event, so it was co-ed. And I would also say that boys tended to be better at that, mostly because of the whole rollerblading aspect. Like, when I grew up, rollerblading was pretty big. And I'll give you that. Everyone was okay at it.
But it was tough because at least, because I went in middle school and the boys, either the boys were like, nah, I'm too cool to do that. And so they wouldn't even put on skates or go on the rink. Or they were like, the kids who rollerbladed and were like super aggressive, and because they're in middle school, they're going around 1,000 miles an hour, like knocking everybody else over.
So they're having such a good time, even though Shane's like falling down.
I would be having a great time if Shane was falling down. That sounds like a fantastic time. Yeah, that's true.
Right. So he thinks that this high in their relationship is the best time to tell her his big secret.
Ooh. That's in public, man. Why are you going to do it? Some people tell people things in public because they don't want the reaction to happen in private. Well, that's always why you do it. But sometimes that's
right,
justified.
Because they think that people won't have like a very negative reaction, like, I don't know, punching each other. But I don't know. I feel like you see ratchet stuff like that all the time. On the weird redneck news type articles where, you know.
Florida, like Florida man stories.
You know, people throwing glasses at each other's heads and, you know, other various objects.
Sure.
So I feel like stuff like that happens in public as well.
Yeah, but it was a really, really bad apology and really, really bad confession.
So it was drawn out.
He won't say what it is he did. Yeah. It took him forever to get anything out. He didn't say what it was until, like,
he was really, really vague about it, and she kept on, like, having this, like, questioning, so what? And I don't know. I feel like, especially since we already know that what he did was bad, I feel like by you prolonging it, the person is just going to think the worst anyway, so you might as well just say it faster. There is no benefit for you to drag it out.
Well, I mean, his reasoning for dragging it out was to give all of his, you know, reasons it wasn't as bad. Because he starts out with, like, I made a mistake. Which is like, did you, like, tip the waiter too much? Or, like, there's a very wrong range of things it could start with, I made a mistake. And, right? But then he immediately is like, I was really drunk. Which drives me crazy. When people blame their...
they're setting it up.
When people blame their mistakes on alcohol. Right, you're setting it up. I was like, oh, you were really drunk? Who decided you should get really drunk? Who does that? Oh, that was you.
Yep.
That was you that decided that. And so I was like, I was really in a stressful situation. So he's really trying to, like, excuse himself even before he gets to confessing what it was.
So, yeah, Shane basically admits to cheating on Lacey before they got married. And I just, it's like, I don't understand how exactly, because Shane was living with Lacey. And he's paroled to Lacey's house, and so he has to be there at a specific time every night. So to me, then it just gets disgusting because it's like, I feel like he cheated with someone in the bar bathroom, and then that just really grosses me out. And that's a choice all in itself, you know? So it's just kind of like, so much grossness.
Yeah, I'm making your face at the bar bathroom.
So gross.
I feel like that's another one we've said that before. We said that last week about the stakeout. If you find yourself in a situation where you're staking out your own house, you should reevaluate. If you find yourself in a situation where you're like, we should have sex in the bathroom at this bar, you should reevaluate things because that means like you either don't have any place to go. Like, I'm not going to pass judgment on people who, you know, pick somebody up at the bar and decide to have some fun that night. That's cool. That happens. That's, you know, that. But to be like, and since we can't go home, let's just do it here in the place where everybody does their business.
There's this dive bar, kind of where I used to live, and I was in like the bathroom stall, and just sitting right on top there was like a thong, and I'm like, why is there underwear here? It did not appear to be soiled. I did not inspect, but it's just like a perfectly decent.
So wait, like, on top of what?
It was a trash can, in the stall. Yes, and so it was like on top of a bunch of like tissue paper, you know, like toilet, whatever, tissues.
Mm. And it was just perfectly
intact on the top, so it did not appear to be soiled, but it's like, how does this happen? Why is someone just losing their underwear in a dive bar bathroom?
I'm gonna charitably interpret that and say, like, they miscalculated and the underwear touched the ground, and they were like,
okay, nope, I'm done with these now. Fair, fair. Otherwise, I was like, oh, gosh. Uh-huh. So Lacey just, you know, she calls him pathetic. And then, of course, she, like, makes it about her. Like, she thinks it might be payback for her situation with John. And so then she's really upset because she says he tried to present himself one way, and she's finding out that he's really another way. So it's making her question this whole marriage thing and, like, the who did I marry? Who is this guy? Do I really know him?
Right.
It's like, no, you don't really know him.
And it's a common thing. She did have a good point where she said, like, because he was like, well, she's like, why didn't you tell me before? And he's like, because I thought if I told you before, right, we wouldn't get married. And she's like, so what your decision was to take that choice away from me. Whose choice is who's the person whose choice it should be? Like, and you took that away. So I was on her side when she said that. I was like, that's
super fair.
I'm on board.
No, and that's so true too. So I know we were kind of debating whether or not he should really tell Lacey or the motivation behind it. I think a couple episodes ago when we first found out. And Lacey brings up a really good point, like you said. Like, he took the choice away from her. I think the timing could have been better, you know? Yeah, he's telling her now, but, you know, he really should have told her before.
But at least now she does have a choice that she can choose. But, like, yes, I would have been on board with him. Yeah, I would have been like, he should have told her before the wedding if he had that to tell.
That, to me, would have been more what he's trying to say, noble, showing he's a good guy. As opposed to now. Because now it's like, that doesn't prove you're a good guy.
Well, I mean, obviously the good guy choice was don't cheat on her. But, you know, now that that ship has sailed.
That's not an option.
Our second best choice.
Exactly. All right. Uh-huh. Who do you want to talk about next?
Since we were talking about ship sailing and cheating, let's talk about Angela and Tony.
So Angela gives up on her stakeout.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then you see her getting in bed with Tony.
Into bed.
He's finally made it. He's made it back to the bed. It took a few episodes, but he's there.
Yep. Well, she made it into his bed. I'm not sure whose bed it was, but she climbed right in. And, they said, how did it come up? He doesn't like being babysitted. Or did she say you need to be babysitted?
Both.
But either way,
yes, the word babysitted definitely. Angela tells him that she was afraid he would do something stupid and end up back in jail. Yeah.
Accurate.
And then he brings up the fact that all his relationships end because of cheating. And then he says it's an addiction.
And the relationship before that? And the one before that? Oh, and the one before that?
Okay, my whole thought is, let's not blame this on addiction. This is not an addiction. You don't have an addiction to cheating. This is just you being an idiot and, like, making poor life choices.
Right. That's not – I'm pretty sure that's something you don't have an addiction to. I actually think they – and I might be wrong, and hopefully we don't get another one-star review for it. But I thought they took out, like, from the, you know, the DSM-5 or whatever it is, the psychology thing – I thought they took away sex addiction as an illness. Like, they were like, this isn't a real thing. Like, if people can
overly say they do it, did
but
too.
And that's sex addiction, not specifically right, cheating
addiction.
Right, okay,
but the thing he has said that it's like, no, that's more fair, is he says that he has impulse issues. Now, that, you know, could result in cheating. And yes, does he have issues? Yes. But for him to keep on categorizing it as addiction to cheating – it's like, no, right. That's not what it is. Impulse control, I'm on board for. Mm. Yeah. So yeah. Angela admits to the stakeout, and did you see the look on his face? He just looked so annoyed and so pissed. But as much as you could look annoyed and pissed as Tony, because he's got like kind of one of those mono faces where just like he has one look for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh. Doesn't vary too much.
I agree.
Yeah, so he's annoyed because he says that she's not giving him a chance and she doesn't trust him. And it's like, well, duh.
Why would she trust you? Like, people always like they always say like that. They always say like, I understand that I broke the trust and it's going to take a long time to earn it back. And then like 2 weeks later, they're like, I'm really frustrated that they don't trust me. Like, it's like, well, yeah, did you?
Yeah. How fast do you think earning back trust takes?
Yeah.
And even then, like, this is why I feel like it's such a deficit if you don't have that trust, is because, you know, like, how is there, like, a measurement of this where you can say, I'm finally there. I can finally trust you. The only thing you can ever do to prove something is to prove that you can't trust someone. But in terms of being, like, trustworthy, I mean, those situations are hard to verify, you know, like... Oh, I didn't cheat on you today. I'm telling you, I didn't cheat on you today. Okay, well, how can I really verify that? I'm going to come back to you tomorrow.
Did you have an opportunity?
I'm going to come back to you tomorrow and say, I didn't cheat on you today. Okay. But it's like, you could say that for as long as you want, but it's not verifiable. But to prove that you can't trust them, that's easily verifiable, you know? Like,
Right. It's trying to prove a negative. You
very,
can't prove a negative.
It's difficult. Yeah. Very difficult.
Yeah, very difficult. So did you catch the commercial? The short.
Oh, ooh. Gosh.
Ooh. So that was icky. They were like getting very flirty and very touchy. And so that's when. Okay. So she said that during the prostitute incident, they were not sexually active.
Yes. I believe that, even though it's super weird. I know. But this is the reason why I don't really think Tony loves Angela. So this is kind of a flashback to when they were first on the show and he first gets released. So they're in the car and Angela is horny for Tony, like wants to get it on immediately. And she's like, you know, trying to be all flirty in the car. And she says something like, okay, so now you're out. What do you want to do first? Would you rather? And he's like, oh, I just really want a steak. And she was like, okay, would you rather have a steak or a blowjob? He picked steak. He literally said to her face, I'd rather have a steak. So, yeah, there were no blowjobs for Tony that night. It was only steak.
Yikes.
So, I mean, that's kind of the running joke.
You're saying it's possible they were not sexually active because Tony was choosing to have sex with prostitutes instead of Angela?
And so that's why I'm kind of like, this kind of further reinforces the fact that Tony just isn't into Angela. Like, he has a good thing going, you know, and he knows that. Like, the good thing is that's his sugar mama, you know? He hasn't had to pay for anything.
Yeah.
She has the house. She's paid for him to get a motorcycle. Like, she pays the bills. Like, apparently she's been giving him prostitute stipends, you know, like, every month.
Yeah. So why does he need her to get laid when she's paying for him to get laid by somebody else?
And then he has his job, and it's like, it's not even like he needs his job. His job is really just to meet prostitutes because he works at a hotel, you know? So it's like... Uh-huh.
Right, he's coordinating the rooms for the prostitutes, right?
So I don't know. I feel like he just has a good thing going with Angela, but it's not about sex or love.
Right, but Angela thinks that they're going to... She is like, she's hoping to, you know, become sexually active again. And it's like, And I was like, well, you're in the car when you said this, so I hope you're driving to get tested. But no, that's not where they were driving. They were driving to a
goodness.
Church. I was like, oh, that is not a lab, man.
Yes. So Angela takes Tony to see Pastor Brother Joey, who has been there for all of her other missteps in relationships. And he has been there to give her advice. And yet, here we are. Angela, why don't you start listening to the good brother?
Oh, man. I love Brother Joey. I didn't love Brother Joey was good, but I loved the interaction between Brother Joey and Tony.
Yes, it was
just
so great.
Great TV.
Okay, what
fantastic.
I thought was really interesting about Pastor Joey was that he, It was very clear that he's like the audience and he has this like a what the fuck look on his face the whole time. Like, what are you doing with your lives? Uh-huh. And I know that if you like were just reading his thoughts, he'd be like, what is wrong with you people? You all are idiots. Like, that was definitely what was going on in Brother Joey's head. But I thought it was really funny that the advice that actually came out of his mouth was so PC, and it was almost beating around the bush to the extent where if you're delusional like Angela, it very easily could have been taken a different way.
Right. I mean, he was clearly trying to be like, listen, I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. I'm not here to judge.
And Angela's like, okay, he's not judging. That's how she takes it.
He's not judging, yeah. So it must be okay.
Yeah.
He says he's okay with it. But like the part where there was like, he was like, so what kind of cheating? Was it like he's texting like or flirting? And he was like, well, no, I actually had intercourse with the man. So,
oh, man. Brother like, Joey's poker face is amazing.
Even Tony's was. He was just, he wasn't like ashamed or he had like no expression. Well, actually, I just had intercourse with the women.
He's
so.
Like, so is that cheating? I don't know.
I'm not sure. He was like, it was definitely cheating. Because he was like, well, was it like, you know, maybe right. an emotional cheating or a thing? He was like, oh, no. We were begging. Like, that was.
Brother Joey's like, what?
We went all the way.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with you people? Yeah. So Angela says through their little therapy session, if you will, that she has ambivalence because she doesn't have trust. So Brother Joey, you know, he's trying to get some, like, greater meaning from all of this. And so he, like, starts to ask the right kinds of questions, you know, asking about his relationship with his family. And Tony, you know, he sure. said he's had a rocky relationship with his family. He basically doesn't have a relationship with his dad because his dad physically abused him countless times till CPS finally stepped in and said, you know, you don't have to visit with your dad anymore. And I don't know, like the way Tony made it sound, he made it sound like his dad was a real asshole.
Right. I believe that 100%. Like,
keep a pin in that because no then like yeah. his conclusion is so far weird. That's why like the first part it was like, yes, Tony does not like his dad. It's very clear. He thinks his dad is a piece of shit. Right. Yeah. So then Pastor Joey points out, well, aren't you abusing Angela now by hurting her the same way your father has hurt you? All of a sudden, Tony like has a breakdown. Well, as much as you can have a breakdown for his monotone looking face.
He was crying.
Oh,
there were
well,
tears
then, Angela,
out,
you know, he must
which,
love
as
you.
We know, means he cares. Yeah, he must love Angela.
Right.
Because he cried. Right. But it that actually did seem to actually make sense to him that he was like, wait a second. I am. It was like, it's like the end of Cats in the Cradle. Like, wait a second. I'm just like him.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tony said that his dad cheated on his mom a lot. And then there's where he lost me, because then he says, I looked up to my dad. I thought he was really cool. And if he thought, you know, cheating was okay, maybe that's why I think it's okay. And it's like, wait a second. Did you just say your dad was an asshole? Why did you think your dad is like super cool and like, you know, you really looked up to him?
Okay. People think assholes are cool. That's especially kids and teenagers. They're like, asshole, that guy's really cool. Like, no, right. He's just an asshole. Like, what are you doing? But I think he's going for something more nuanced than he can possibly explain because he's not all that smart. And that, like, there is a certain thing, whether you liked your dad or didn't like your dad or thought he was an asshole or didn't think it was an asshole, that's the person
sure.
that showed you how,
yeah.
how to
your
be
your example,
a man.
Your like, model.
That was your exemplar right. of manhood, yeah, of masculinity. So that's kind of what you're going to emulate, even if you, because you have nothing else to emulate.
I kind of took it more so that Tony is just looking for an excuse, something to blame this on that
isn't
that's
true.
Him. And so, you know, am I doubting that Tony was abused or that Tony does have some kind of trauma from his past? Absolutely not. I mean, I definitely feel like people who make those kinds of bad life decisions, there's definitely more times than not some kind of trauma that kind of sets them on this path. And I believe that Tony has had some kind of trauma that set him on his path. But it gets to the point where you're aware of what's going on. And this isn't the first time you've cheated on someone. You know, you've had time in prison to reflect on basically her life. I feel like he's aware of what's going on. He's not even that into Angela to begin with. And he's just he's using her and looking for an excuse to like kind of blame, you know, the situation to stay in it when he got caught.
Oh, yeah. My dad's fault. Yeah, this is my dad's fault. Like, you're having sex with prostitutes and stuff. Yeah. How about your dad's fault?
Know. His okay. dad does sound terrible, but...
That's a story. Oh, no, I'm sure his dad was horrible. I do not deny it. I do not deny it. But, I mean, at some point, things... Because I'm sure his dad's dad was probably also awful.
Someone's got to break the cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you want to talk about next?
Let's go to Meghan, Michael, and Sarah, because I feel like we always end with Meghan, Michael, and Sarah, and I'm going to change it up this time. Or really just Michael and Sarah. There was no Meghan. There was no Meghan this time. It was Maria, Michael, and Sarah.
And I would have to say that between Meghan and Maria, I didn't think I could hate someone more than I hate Meghan, but here we are, Maria. But I do not
Maria,
like her.
My goodness, Maria.
I do not
Maria.
Like her one bit.
She's everything that Meghan is, and also like extra smug. Like, she's so smug.
Yeah, Meghan got really smug when she had her confrontation with Sarah, and that's what made me dislike Meghan so much, was that confrontation.
But Maria's smug in the like interviews, like that's
yeah.
So anyway, so we kind of pick up right where we picked off last week, where Brittany was starting to yell at Michael for having a bitch there. Yeah. Sarah was yelling at Michael. Right.
So she asks if it's Meghan.
For bringing some strange bitch. Uh-huh. And then Michael's response is pretty much, it's none of your business who it is. Which would be if he wasn't taking the kids there. Because that's where we kind of started talking about last time. And that was the big disconnect for the whole rest of this segment. Was Sarah being like, I'm worried about the kids, and they're like, and I don't like this for the kids, and they kept being like, well, you don't want it for you, and she's like, but what about the kids? And he's like, but what about you? Like, she's like, I don't want to send my kid over to a strange woman. He's like, well, you're mad I'm with a woman. It's like, that's not
like
that's
they
not
were
the point.
Not on the same playing field. It was like they were like, you know, battling, but two different battles. And it was like, are you even aware of what the other person's bringing here?
Right. Well, Michael was just determined to – he's just stuck in this. And I don't know how true or false it is. I think that Sarah is still like not over him and still wants him back. And it's like a jealous – it's a jealous rage and everything. All her anger comes from – her being jealous that he's with another woman.
Well, we'll get to that because I have some thoughts about that. But Sarah says that she's mad that he's trying to basically have a mini vacation with another woman when he's supposed to be there to hang out with the kids. So things pretty much go off the rails when she finds out that he's there with Maria. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what this was about, but then Sarah accuses him of drinking. And then that's where I feel like...
fell
apart.
Sarah, she lost me on that. Like, because he had a point. He was like, when was I drinking? I've been sitting right here for hours. Like,
so then he calls her a bitch. And then, you know, like I said, it went off the rails as soon as she accused him of drinking. Because then he calls her a bitch. And so then she's like physically shoving him out of the house to like slam the door behind her.
She's just... incensed to the point where she doesn't making any sense at all.
So here is where our one-star review comes in. So Mr. O and I had talked about this kind of offline for a minute. And, you know, because like I said, we like to not be too judgmental in a way that is offensive to people. I would argue that she was, I don't know, I guess she talks hood. I guess that's the only way... that I would describe it.
Yeah, so mine is that I'll use my academic credentials. In linguistics, there is an English dialect called African-American Vernacular English that's well-known and well-studied, and it is what most people think of as black talk. And I feel like Sarah is kind of trying to switch into that dialect without fully understanding it, and so it sounds
forced, maybe.
And that's what kind of off-put me, by the way. Yeah, very forced. And so that really off-put me the way she was talking.
I feel like she changes how she talks with different groups of people and varying levels of anger as well. You know, if she's like talking even to Michael Comley, she talks like she typically talks. But sure. I would say that when she starts to get angry, to me, she just sounds real hood. And I don't know if that's a race thing or not, but I don't know. That's how I associate how she's speaking.
Forget dialects or anything like that. She is just screaming
Absolute nonsense.
And absolute nonsense. And Michael will not walk away. Like, he needs to just walk away. He needs to just go away.
And so I think, like, part of it is that he doesn't walk away. And it's just pushing her buttons. And she just feels like she's not being heard. And so this frustration that is, like, bubbling up in her is what is making her just scream random things and just yell and be ridiculous, you know? And then it's, like, it's just also, I'm sorry, like, Sarah, and I get the frustration, but it's not a good look because now Michael thinks you're not in control. And he thinks that you're the crazy one. You know, he's being the rational one, you know, and it's just not a good look. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel bad for her because I understand where her frustration is coming from, especially when he's bringing up, and this is where they're definitely not in the same wavelengths. He's thinking that, you know, Sarah's just salty because, you know, he brought a woman and she still wants him. And she's like, yeah, you still want me.
Yeah. Well, that even makes her, that's just, I understand what that. It's like, if you voice a concern and you're like, I don't want my children around some strange woman. And his like, you just jealous. But no, I actually have concerns. And every concern that you have is met with, you're just jealous.
Me.
Then yes, you.
Yeah. It's like, you are the last person I want right now.
I can't blame her for feeling like she's not being heard. Exactly. You are the last person I want right now. And especially when like, aren't they just waiting for him to sign the divorce papers?
Yeah. So right now he's just not.
She's already done it. She's already moved on and he's the one who has it. But he's telling her, you're the one who's holding on to this relationship. You're the one who wants me. It doesn't make sense to me.
He's such a bonehead. Like, I don't know why he just doesn't get it. You know, it's like he thinks, you know, when Sarah keeps on calling him, it's like, oh, Sarah wants to talk to me. It's like, no, your children do not have their own cell phones. Like, when Sarah is calling, it's for the children, but he's just not getting that. And so that's why I think he doesn't answer the phone most of the time is because he's like, oh, I don't want to deal with Sarah. I don't want to talk to Sarah. And you saw, like, on that episode, Aviana was holding the phone. Aviana was trying to call her dad with the phone. And it's just like he doesn't answer. And it's like he's not getting that in order to have a relationship with his children, that things have to be cool with Sarah and has nothing to do with their past. It has nothing to do with their sexual history or their relationship status.
Yeah.
He's just not getting it.
Well, because Maria kind of, that's clearly what he's been telling Maria. Because, I mean, when she comes into it, but that thing like, how are you going to say you're over me? You keep calling me and texting me all the time. And it's like, that's because she has your children, you dummy. It's like, what? She won't let me talk to my kids. She called you five times so you could talk to your kids. And you were like, oh, nah, she's just trying to be relationship-y.
Well,
like, she's just trying to get
and
me back.
And he keeps on saying, like, she's just using those kids to get, like, near me and, like, you know, to keep me. And it's just like, no, she's just trying to make you be a father. And so this is the annoying part of their conversation. I think it might have annoyed me the most is when he was saying, you know, like, well, if I was so terrible, why do you keep wanting me to be a father to them? It's like, because you are their dad and she doesn't have a choice in it. Yeah.
You get a choice. I mean,
obviously before she had a choice, but at this point it's already over and done with. Like, she doesn't have a choice on who the father is.
Right. And she doesn't really have a choice. Like, he's right. She can't legally, because they're not divorced yet and they have no custody arrangement, she can't legally keep him from the kids. So she has to. And, like, just Well, and the thing is, because he keeps saying, she won't let me have any time alone with the kids. And it's like, that's because you won't ever be alone with the kids. You wanted to bring them to someplace with somebody else. You weren't going to be alone. Like, jeez. If you were going to be alone with the kids, she would have let you have them. But since you brought a woman with you, now she's like, no.
I feel like this is something where mediation would be really good for them. And one of like the stipulations or rules in their mediation should be you cannot talk about your relationship. It should be only about the children, you know, and then let's hash some things out. Because then I think, Michael, it may sink in a little bit what Sarah's expectations for him are as a father and not as a husband and father. You know, because then she would probably say, you know, like my expectation for you as a father is to talk to your kids X number of times a week. So that means you can expect me to call X number of times a week. If I don't hear from you.
Right. Because, kids can't call. Right. If I don't hear from you, I will be calling you and I won't be calling you. Your kids will be calling you. You have to visit them X number of times. Like that's not bad. Because if he said he's going to take it to court, he is not going to like what the courts decide.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
He is an ex-con who voluntarily left and stayed away for months at a time. He is not going to like what the courts decide his visitation is. Because it's probably going to be way less than he wants and also supervised.
The thought just came to me that Michael may not be as dumb as we think he is. Like, getting married to Sarah was actually pretty smart on his part when it comes to the kids. You know, because if he's married to her, he doesn't have to pay child support. And I feel like that's one of the biggest reasons why he's dragging his feet in this divorce, is he doesn't want to have to pay child support. He's scared about what he could potentially have to pay.
At a certain point, though, If you show that he's been absent and he's not there, even if you're still married, you can get child support out of him. And like, at a certain point, he can't stop the divorce indefinitely.
Right, it just takes longer.
It's like after you've not responded to it, it just takes longer, right?
Yeah, so Michael goes back to the hotel with Maria, and he's talking about Aviana's original reaction, which, if you recall, Aviana was just crying the whole time. Well, not the whole time. She started off crying, and then she got used to him, warmed up to him a little bit. Yeah. And then Maria just says, well, she's just four and she's listening to her mom. And Sarah's probably telling her stuff.
Well, it's anytime. Not seeing somebody for a month is weird. It's just you can't not. And what does she want to tell her? Because she has to answer the question, where's dad? Why can't I talk to daddy? Where's daddy been? Like, you have to answer that question. You can't just not answer it.
Yeah, definitely not. So Michael says he gets it because he basically had a similar situation with his dad. So he talks about how him and Day Day, who it sounds like are actually 100% brother or sister, not half siblings, their dad kind of did the same thing where he left his mom. They didn't really hear from him. And so he doesn't want his daughters to go through the same thing. But it's like, I don't understand how he can't look at his situation and recognize certain things. Like, I have not talked to my daughter in over a month. Like, maybe I'm a deadbeat dad, you know? It's like, I don't understand why he can't see what he's doing isn't any better.
Well, he just, he's blaming everybody else too. Cause he is just like, if I can't move through the world as exactly as comfortable as I would like to be, then that's everybody else's fault. Like, anytime I have to talk to Sarah to talk to my kids, no thanks. She's controlling me. And now I can't see my kids. But, well, no, sorry. You're going to have to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to talk to Sarah. You're going to have to go to Rochester. You're going to have to suck it up and get a hotel room by yourself. Like, you can't just demand that everyone in the whole world accommodate their lives to make you as comfortable as possible.
Yeah, and I definitely think he, has that expectation. You know, so Michael says that talking about other women bothers Sarah, and that I do have to agree with him. I know you've said you think she is. I don't think Sarah is 100% over Michael. I think that her actions are you know, 100% justified on how he's treated her. And, you know, I definitely feel like dealing with him all the time is making it so she's not 100% over him. But I don't think over him in the sense where she would get back together again with him. I think she does know better.
Yeah.
But I think she's still, it just, the hurt is still so fresh that, yes, he can affect her emotionally. And in that sense, makes it seem like she's really not over him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say, like, it's more of like an anger stage. Like, when he has another woman, it's not that she's jealous of the other woman and he wants him back. It's that she gets angry that it's unfair that he hurt her and he gets to move on and have another woman and she does not. Like, that is infuriating.
And then that probably even makes her more upset about the situation of, you know, her kids are kind of tying her down in a way. You know, like, she can't just run off to whatever state to visit whatever, you know, potential partner like Michael's doing, because, you know, she has to take care of her kids.
Right.
And so it's very frustrating for her, likely, to see him be so free with whoever when she's like.
Well, especially when she's paying for his stuff.
That's like, even worse. Ooh. Yeah. So, yeah, I team Sarah, but it's just, I do think, and I mean, she's young. Yeah, she's young, and I feel like
she
handled it as well as I would think anyone her age could handle it. There's a lot of, like, heavy situations she's dealing with here that I can say that I never had to deal with in my mid-20s, thank God. I don't know if I would be able to handle it any better than she did, you know, so... But at the same time, it's, like, not the most productive way of dealing with it.
No, it was definitely a – I think one of the things you get better at as you get older is recognizing your own emotional, like, levels. And before you get to that point, I think a lot of people get better at removing themselves from situations and being like, listen, we're going to stop this now because otherwise I know where that road goes and that's not going to help anybody. So we'll come back to – let's have a plan and deal with that, but and not let yourself get into that just – unhinged.
Right. Yeah, because nothing's productive at that point. And I do think when you get a little bit older, it is easier to kind of pull out the parts that are like, okay, this isn't going to help us resolve anything. Name calling isn't going to help resolve anything.
Right.
Saying things just to hurt you is not going to resolve anything, you know?
Slamming the door on you is not going to resolve anything.
Yeah, it's... I feel bad for her that she has to deal with another... person and Michael. I mean, Maria, she is not my favorite.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't like Maria at all. Just super, super smug. Just and well, I mean, the only thing I know is that we know what's going to happen to Maria. We know he's going to do the same thing to Maria he's done to everybody else. So she has it coming. Like, we know it's coming.
I don't know. And I kind of feel like, at least for Megan, you could somewhat justify some sympathy for her, because Megan started off the situation not knowing. It seems like Maria is 100% aware of the entire... I feel like she knows about Megan. She knows about all the other... Maybe she doesn't know all about all the other women, because I'm sure Michael is like saying, oh, yeah, it's just us now. You know, yeah, sure, I had a lot of other girls. And so she knows there's other women. But I think she really thinks, you know, now it's just her. Because, you know, she says they're married in their mind.
Yes. And they're, emotionally they're married. And her bubble burst. Her bubble burst.
Yes, and when she said stuff like that, I was like, I really do not like this girl.
Right. And I was like, I kind of want her to see the tapes and be like, do you really? Like, because Michael comes back and is like, wow, she acted crazy because she wants me back. And she's like, of course he did. Who wouldn't want you in Maria's head, you know? Certainly that crazy lady wanted you, so. But, like, I feel like I want to be like, no, you missed the point, because even she doesn't seem to get it. She was like, you know, what kind of woman just sits around waiting for some man to text? And I was like, the mother of that man's children? Like, that's reasonable. I would hope they would.
And then she's referring to Plan B, which I was like, what the hell is Plan B? Is that her? It's kind of made it sound like that's her confronting Sarah. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm actually kind of interested to see if Sarah could stay calm like, I kind of would want to see Maria be like, do you want to hear the other side of the story? Because, like, but, I mean, I don't think she'd believe it because she'd be like, Sarah's a lying bitch. But, you know, everything she says is wrong. But, like, I kind of do want to be like, I don't know. I don't know how you can hear somebody like that. Somebody who, I don't know. I guess she doesn't think Michael's full of shit.
Even though he's totally full of shit. I don't understand how people fall for stuff like that. It makes no sense to me.
Like, you lied to, like, four other people, but you're being straight with me. Like, why would you even think that? And to be like, I'm going to take your story at 100% face value and not, like, with no grains of salt. I don't understand. I don't understand that at all. Yeah,
that's crazy. Ugh, but it'll be interesting. We talked about this before. Like, is Maria going to get her own card at some point? Her intro card? And when is Megan going
to... I know.
Yeah, I feel like they should just Photoshop, like, Maria's face onto Megan's head. Like, just keep Megan's hair and then just put Maria's face
really,
on it.
A really bad Photoshop.
And make it, like, an obvious.
Yeah, just like with the...
Yeah. Have the, like, the little part of the tape on it.
I'm down with it.
Like, you're taping the head on. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, you physically taped it on. I'm on board.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so the last couple is Brittany and Marcelino. Yes. So this was deep and dark.
I think this is why we try not to end with, you know, some of these couples is because it's
with
just,
them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right, though. So.
All right. So I decided from this, we need to come up because they bleeped out her first baby daddy's name.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not 100% sure why they do that.
I don't know either. But I would say, I was going to say, someone on... I want to say I saw it on Instagram or possibly Reddit, like full on took a screen grab and they figured out the name based on the screen grab and looked it up online and did a screenshot. So, I mean, if I wanted to, I could check the Reddits to find this guy's name, but.
Oh, no, I just want to call him something ridiculous.
He had a pretty normal name. I can't remember what it was, but.
I know, but I don't want to give him a pretty normal name. Let's just, I was going to call him.
Okay.
Bubba. I like Bubba.
Bubba,
let's go with
actually,
Bubba. Good.
We found out from 90 Day Fiancé means father in Turkish. So,
it
yeah.
Does.
But we, so,
it
baby
does.
Bubba.
Which is?
Baby daddy.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it starts. Bubba comes up because last time we saw Brittany Marcelino, she was trying to get the court documents related to when her two children were taken from her custody when she was incarcerated.
Yep.
And the court documents, when she gets them, says that the court had contacted and tried to reunite both of them, both of the children, with Bubba.
Like a reunification plan.
Which seemed like a bad idea. Right. Well, because it makes sense. If the mom
you
goes
to
jail,
the
then the first thing they want to do is try to find the dad.
After that, so like grandparents, like aunts or uncles, they're just trying to find you and place you with family first.
Before going into foster care,
Very upset about this because she thinks that the courts should know the age difference. So Bubba, I think, was 35 when she was
something like that,
12.
Yeah.
So they started having a sexual relationship when she says like 12-ish. And so then she actually got pregnant at about 14. And so she had her first kid when she was 15. And so then – and her second kid I think was 16 or 17.
So either way, regardless of when she says the relationship started, it was clearly and obviously already started when it was statutory rape. For them to be in
and so she's upset that, you know, they're basically trying to give these kids to what she would consider a rapist. Because now that she's had time to reflect on this, she's like, no, that guy was a rapist. He 100% took advantage of me when I was vulnerable, had nothing, had no one. So she kind of describes, you know, how they met. When she was homeless, he was just like hanging out on the street, asked her where she was going. She ended up meeting up with his friend who was like a bouncer at a hotel or something. And so she, you know, had a place to live and, you know, was hanging out with him and they were in a relationship.
Right. And I guess it seems as if they never actually went through with the reunification.
No.
They just like
tried. And I think the reason why it failed is because Bubba is like been in and out of jail, having nothing to do with his statutory rape. But I mean, and this makes sense too, because Brittany was saying she fell in with the wrong people. And then that's how she originally went to jail, was because she was caught for a burglary that someone had made her do. Well, what happened to Bubba? Bubba got caught trying to steal a flat screen TV from an office building.
And so she ends up finding him. She ends up looking, you know, putting Bubba's name in the registry for prisoners. And I don't know how this works. Clearly she does, because she has way more experience with it. And she pretty much figures when he's up for parole, and like when she's like, well, I know when he's up for parole, and I know what time they do parole hearings, and I know exactly where he's going to be and when he's going to be there. So she knows she can actually like see him face to face.
I don't know what the point of that would be. I mean, she says closure, but I mean, I don't know what the point of that would be, because it's not like he has the children.
He doesn't have the children. He doesn't know where the children are. It would just be a chance to her to tell him off. And I don't see that ending well.
I don't know if really having her say that would help her move on any. Especially because I feel like...
I don't think it would at all.
Especially because I feel like the kind of guy Bubba seems to be is not the kind of guy who is going to give her a reaction that is going to lend itself to closure.
Right. So she did, you know, confront her mom about what went on with her mom, and it was helpful because her mom was sincerely remorseful and her mom felt bad about it. And like she kind of let her mom know. Bubba will not care.
I don't think so either.
He won't. He'll be like, I don't give any shits what you just said. You're a crazy lady. Get out of my face. He will not care. And that is not going to help her. He did not learn any lessons. He's not going to feel worse because she came and told him off. And that's something I thought, is that earlier, you know, she was crying and she was like, why is it always me? Why is it always me who has to pay? And like, as unfortunate as it is, she's the one who pays because she's the only one that cares.
Yeah, that's so true. Like,
nobody else cares.
I agree with what you said.
And so they don't have to pay.
With what you said about her mom, and I'm wondering if that's the reason why she wants to try to have this closure with Bubba, is because it seemed to go so well with her mom. You know, her mom was remorseful, and it did probably make her feel better about things. And you know, if you could somehow resolve those kinds of issues you had with everyone that you feel like negatively towards, I'm sure you would try. You know, if you could get that kind of feel good, like, okay, there's like a lot of love in the world. But I just, I don't see that coming from Bubba. And we don't even know that much about him, but it's just like, you know, just given what he's done in the past, I just don't think he's going to give that to her.
Right. And what he continued to do, like we know he was a rapist in the past, and we know he's still a criminal now, and he doesn't seem to be somebody who's trying to move out of the system. Like, he doesn't seem like a remorseful person, even a little bit.
One quick note, when she was looking up things online, you know, for her trying to look up all that parole information, she had a tab open. Uh-huh. Did you see that? Her Internet Explorer or her Internet tab. She had Canvas up. Uh-huh. So good for her. Brittany's in school using that Canvas.
She's in school. Oh, man, I don't like Canvas. Canvas is like my least favorite MLS. I don't like Canvas.
Actually, I like Canvas.
I don't know. Well, it's only because... Well, ours is all, everything we do is Google. So that one, so it's just, so every, the one class I, like the class I have to use Canvas for, it's like, okay, get off Google. I just put it this way. I don't like the Canvas that we have set up, because it's like way too, it won't even let me download the documents.
Oh, and things. That's, it's okay, you have like a totally locked down baseball. Canvas. So
that
sucks. I put everything on Canvas. So I teach at a high school and at a university, and coincidentally we use Canvas for both. And so it's really nice, but I have everything on there. It works for me. I like it. But it is it is very frustrating at the university though, because one thing I would say that's like a consistent pain in my ass is that there are a lot of app extensions you can get on Canvas, but because of FERPA, like the university will not approve like any third party apps. And so it's just like, I went through literally a year process trying to vet this application with a textbook just for it to like die in purgatory somewhere. Yeah. So, but we digress. That's too much teacher talk shop.
We digress. That was teacher inside baseball there.
All right. So we didn't hear from Josh and Cheryl or Clint and Tracy this week. Yeah.
That's correct. That's correct. Those are the two we didn't hear from. But we've been talking for longer than the show has been going on. Okay.
Yeah, I guess we had a lot to say this time. So, your student of the week.
My student of the week was actually somebody we didn't talk about at all. And that's actually Marcelino. Because I really like Marcelino kind of taking his role of pumping Britney's brakes to be like, are you sure this is a good idea? Can we think? Because he knows it as well as she's doing, it's still a balance. And you can't, she can't go too far off balance. Like, there's too many things going on. And I appreciate Marcelino trying to keep her centered and at least making her reflect on what are the things she really wants. And then once she decides it, pretty well supporting her. So, Marcelino.
That actually reminded me of a rumor that's going on with them. So, remember their lawyer, Chris? I can't remember what his last name was. Ford, I want to say. Yes, Competent Chris, the only competent lawyer I feel like we've seen on all of the Matt Sharp shows. Yeah, so apparently he is, I don't know what you would call it, basically trying to get his $22,000 in lawyer fees from them. So they're in financial trouble right now. So,
right. But we knew that was coming anyway. They've been complaining about the $22,000. We have $30,000, $30,000,
$30,000. So, yeah, things aren't good financially for them right now. So hopefully Marcelino can start winning his poker tournaments or at least
win some,
learn some Microsoft Office. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. What's your student of the week?
My student of the week was Brother Joey. I don't know how in the world he kept a straight face hearing Tony's, about Tony's infidelities and what he does with the prostitutes. But
all right.
Good for Brother Joey. Yeah. Okay. What about your class dunce?
Oh, yeah. Sarah. Like, she just completely lost it. And it felt so bad because she was right. But she ceded, like, all of the high ground that she had and she just went down in the mud with him and like it didn't work.
I know. It's so sad when the message is like right on, but it's like the how you presented it wasn't. It's just like, very much so. My dunce is Shane. Like, come on. What an idiot. Just for so many things, but like, okay, this is, you're considering this the highlight of your relationship. But now you want to F things up by, telling Lacey.
Yeah.
The timing is terrible. What are you doing?
Right here. Let's just pull it down. There is no good timing. To be fair to Shane, there's no good timing.
That's true.
But the time when it's like, oh, this is, it's a very severe left turn from lighthearted merriment to, oh, yeah, by the way, I cheated on you.
Oh, goodness. Okay. You're a life lesson.
All right, so this one, I kind of mentioned this already, but is you have to, just because you like someone, just because you love someone, just because you're closer to someone, you cannot just 100% believe their side of a story. Now, I want to make sure what I'm not saying don't believe victims, because you should believe victims, and we need to investigate things. But I'm saying in a situation where it's like Michael and Sarah, and there's like a whole lot of drama going on, you can't just take one person's interpretation of that drama and be like, this is 100% the truth, and I trust it completely.
Okay, so that's funny that's your life lesson, because mine is kind of along the same vein and definitely inspired from the same people. But my, life lesson is, if you're going to date someone who has children, you should absolutely not involve yourself with anything that has to do with their relationship with their children's partner, with their relationship with like parenting, and especially this early on. If you're married, then yes, you need to have a relationship in the sense, but it doesn't necessarily need to be through that other person. And you should definitely not be like Maria here, who's instigating things, and now she wants to confront Sarah herself. Like, just don't be involved. It doesn't involve you.
That is true. You see a lot of people who were like, I just confused, and all these shows, the 90 Days and everything, and this one, you see, I don't understand why they still have a relationship with their ex. And it's like, well, if they have kids, then you should understand why they still have a relationship with their ex. Like, you can't not. It's that's a given. And so, like, the people who try to take that away, like, I don't think they should see their ex. It's like, no, they have kids. They're going to see their ex. That, you just have to live with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you should stay out of it.
Yeah, I definitely feel like.
I mean, that's I'd say stay out of it. But you don't want to be, because you don't want to be, like, if they're, like, cheating on you with their ex.
Oh, absolutely. That's a different story. And that's not, I feel like that's not what's going on.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not in this case. No, absolutely not. But I was like, there are certain exceptions to that lesson.
I kind of feel like, if anything, you should be the voice of reason, you know, like, try to put things in perspective, mm-hmm. like, you know, talking to your partner,
right? Because you're not the one who's emotionally invested in this relationship. You can see it with clearer eyes.
I don't know, I'm not saying always take the partner's side, but I mean, like, at least try to get the partner's perspective in there. So that's definitely not something that Maria is abiding by. She is definitely trying to interject mm-hmm. and insert herself into their drama. And it's like, how many people could fit into this drama? You already got three people in the mix. And we're not even counting the children.
Yeah.
You want to be the fourth person in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. The children or... Well, because what's her face? The friend Emmy. That everybody likes. She's a little bit in there too.
Yes.
Emmy. Emmy is not free of this drama.
No, but it's like, but she's not, you know, having sex with anyone in this group either, so.
That's true. She has not had sex with any of them.
Oh, yeah.
That we know of.
Oh, goodness. All right. So, I think that's pretty much it for this week.
All right. Yeah.
Yep.
Covers it for this week. Whew, we will see everybody again next Tuesday.
Sounds good. And please leave us a rating, good or bad. If it is going to be bad, if you could just leave us some constructive criticism, we appreciate that.
Also, constructive criticism if it's good. I want to know what we're doing well. The people like.
It doesn't always have to be negative. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes. If you like us, please give us a positive rating. Don't just give us a negative rating just because we said something about it. All right. And if you're watching 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast on that as well.
Uh-huh. We'll be wrapping up. We wrapped up this past week, and we're going to start before the 90 days next week. So that'll be a great time to join in.
It's before the 90 days, which already in itself tends to be more of a train wreck show than the original.
Right.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you soon then. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.